This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's the evening edition. I'm Ezra Zayed, and in the studio we have with us comedian Jason Leong to talk to us about the Crack House Comedy Carnival 2017. It's the third edition where top international local stand-up comics will be performing across 10 shows over 5 nights. All of this will be held at the Crack House Comedy Club. That's in Tamantun, Dr. Ismail, which kicks off tonight, this evening, on Wednesday, April 26th. We have with us one of the stars that will be performing, and he'll be telling us all about the carnival, Jason Leong. Thank you very much for being in the studio with me. We're going to be talking at length about the Crack House third anniversary comedy carnival, but maybe we'd begin by having an overview of what's happening in the scene at large. And now, I know that every time you come into a studio, whether it's at this radio station or any other radio station, people ask you, Jason, no, what's the comedy scene like? But let me put it in a nutshell.
Yes.
This is an exciting period. It's been probably the most profitable, marketable. Mm-hmm. You're seeing more comedians in every shape, size, and form, more events right across the country. It's not just limited to some of the big city centers. It's a wonderful time.
Yes. Every time I come on the show, I always say that the comedy scene is at a boom, and every time it feels like it's getting bigger and bigger.
Right.
But recently, I came to the conclusion that Malaysia has the best stand-up comedy scene in the region. And that includes places like Hong Kong, Singapore, Indonesia, Philippines. You know, we are one of the most developed and mature comedy scenes.
Can you qualify that?
So we have two full-time comedy clubs in Kuala Lumpur, Lifehouse KL and Crack House KL. So other countries don't even have one full-time comedy club, with the exception of Hong Kong.
And of course, even a big star like Aflin Shauki, he's opened up
a place as well. Yeah, that's the Bahasa Melayu market as well. So he has one in Jalan Ampang. It's called the Comedy Planet. So he started doing shows there as well. So in both languages, Bahasa Melayu and English, the comedy scene is really booming really, really fast. So yeah, and I think it's a very interesting time to be a stand-up comedian in Asia, and particularly so in Malaysia. Because the Malaysian market, we have enough Malaysians who come out and see homegrown talent.
And why are Malaysians going out and, I guess, spending money to go see comedians? Because, you know, a huge part of this phenomenon is YouTube.
Right.
A lot of people, whether it might have been Russell Peters, in terms of that introduction of stand-up comedy, or, you know, some of the great comedians that everybody's familiar with from watching, some great television shows of the past. Mm. Why are people going out and spending money? Because Malaysians are very, very cautious about what they spend their money on in terms of entertainment.
Well, I think the answer to that is twofold. The first one is that there's a lot of education on the part of the stand-up comedians and stand-up comedy promoters to educate the public, like, what is stand-up comedy. So now there are a lot of big names who are coming to perform in Malaysia. We recently have Eddie Izzard. Last year was Gabriel Iglesias. And then 2 years ago was Jeff Dunham. So now the public kind of know what stand-up comedy is. And also why Malaysians are willing to spend money, even though we are facing an economic downturn, is because comedy is a lot about the truth, you know. And stand-up comedians, when they perform at their shows, they say things that otherwise other people in authority or on TV or even on radio, mainstream radio, cannot say or will not say or are not allowed to say. So when Malaysians go and watch, it's a breath of fresh air to see someone saying the thing that they've been thinking of, like the state of the country, the politics, the nature of our leaders on stage. And my whole week, no one has said that until tonight at that stand-up comedy show.
And you need to be there. You need to physically be there so that you enter into this safe space where you can laugh uncontrollably.
Yes. And share the laughter with other people.
And share the laughter. And I guess feel connected to your community and your society.
Yes, and be in the moment. So a friend of mine in Singapore, his name is Hizri, he's a comedy promoter. He said that stand-up comedy is the last bastion of free speech. And it sounds very like, woo, but actually I'm beginning to feel it more and more, you know? Like
Do you really feel that, Jason Leong? Do you really?
So. You know, it's a safe space where people can do jokes about almost anything.
Yeah.
And get away with it, you know? And it's very cathartic. It's a stress relief for like the normal Johan on the street.
Yeah. And there's some sort of tacit agreement about how jokes are presented in a room and how jokes are related in a room, there's a communal feeling. Whereas once a joke gets recorded and posted up on YouTube, there's a disconnect about the intent and the delivery and who that joke is targeted and directed at.
Yeah, that is quite unfortunate. Sometimes when the comedians upload clips, maybe they don't upload the full 5 minutes in which they set up the context or the meaning behind it. So the last sentence before the punchline, and they think that's enough. So they miss the intent. And so you got to, it's right. You got to be in the room to feel the full weight of the joke.
And what's fascinating is, you know, you have educational brands, you know, F&B brands attaching themselves to these comedy shows. And they're, you know, packed with people and sponsors.
Yes.
And sponsors, to get them on board on this, this must have taken them quite a bit of time to realize that, you know what, there's something that can be done here. And of course, you know, it encourages more people to be involved, encourages more opportunities. There's a trickle-down economics to this.
Yes. Definitely more sponsors are coming aboard, but we have not turned the corner yet in terms of, like, sponsors are more readily on board with our projects. But definitely there's a significant uptick. For example, last year, the MACC shows, the Malaysian Association of Chinese Comedians, was sponsored by Tiger Rattler and also Inti. So that's it's pretty interesting to see that these brands are now coming on board. You know?
Those are two very, very different brands.
Yes,
right?
Which is touched upon by Douglas. Like, what a weird combination. You come to my comedy show and it's like, you know what I need? Beer and education. And I hope to see more brands in general coming on board and support the stand-up comedy scene, because it's going to get bigger.
Here's my problem with, you know, all of the good things that we've spoken about,
right,
you know, in terms of the comedy scene. There's a comedy festival about every 3 weeks now, and I'm not quite sure whether perhaps my
every week.
Yeah. So is what I'm experiencing something that other folks are experiencing, that there is a glut of comedy
shows?
Yeah.
Yeah. Having some inside knowledge of the industry, I would say it's not a glut. It's more of like a lack of communication between the major stakeholders of the stand-up comedy scene. So it is definitely a folly to have three comedy festivals packed together in 1 month, because you just end up cannibalizing a still limited market.
What it looks to me and what it sounds like is, you know, it's a lot of competition. You know, it's a growing scene that this is also where competition emerges amongst comedy organizers and promoters.
Yeah, but see, if I was one of the promoters, I'll be horrified if two other festivals occur in the same month as my festival.
Right.
For example, when I did my solo stand-up comedy show, I actually reached out to a few of the big promoters and say, hey, are you having any shows in February? Because that's when I'm going to do my special. And then they said no. Okay, so the whole month of February, the only major show was my show, and it sold out. So that's good news. A friend of mine, a fellow comedian, Charmaine Ohman, just put it very succinctly. She just said, why can't they just pick up the phone and call each other? And I think that's the first thing I think they should have done. But we learn from it, you know what I mean? But having said that, though, putting together a festival or even any comedy show, you, especially when you want to bring in talents from overseas, you are bound by their availabilities and their schedules.
And because these comedians from the US or the UK, they're doing these tours, right?
Yes.
So they go through Southeast Asia almost in groups, and you
Correct.
Need to bring them from venue to venue in that particular time
There's
frame.
There's a current of comedians. So like some of them, they will come down from China or from UK or United States, and then they'll pass through Hong Kong, then they'll go through Malaysia, Singapore, Singapore, and then Australia, and then back up. So like sometimes the logistics don't pan out, you know, or you may even cost the promoter more to bring in another month. It's a very complex play of logistics and all the different promoters. But at the end of the day, I think this could have been solved if they communicated with each other. But having said that, though, I've been to the shows at the festivals so far, the two festivals that has occurred, and I'm happy to hear and report that the rooms are almost full. The positive thing, I think, out of all this is like in the month of April, the comedy market and the comedy scene went through a stress test. You know, I'm like, let's bombard them with 4 shows per week, 5 shows per week, and we see what happens. And the comedy scene did not collapse. It did not, like, the people still came out and spent money and came and watched. So that I would say that bodes well for the future of the Malaysian stand-up comedy scene.
And what you need is organization. And structure, and you know, to ensure that everybody involved, audiences, sponsors, comedians, they all get
the best.
Yes, they got the best, and they get a fair slice of the cake as well.
Correct. So it takes a lot of cooperation and compromise and consideration by all the major stakeholders. So I think this will happen in the future if we just set aside some of our ego and work together. I think that really can happen.
Don't go anywhere. We'll be talking more about the Crack House Comedy Carnival 2017. It kicks off this evening and tickets are still available at the door. Head over to the Crack House Comedy Club in Taman Tun, Dr. Ismail. More with comedian Jason Leong on the Evening Edition. It's BFM 89.9.
Best flipping moments. BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's the Evening Edition. I'm Ezra Zayed, and my guest this evening is comedian Jason Leong, and we're here to tell you about the third installment of the Crack House Comedy Carnival that begins this evening, Wednesday, the 26th of April, and it goes on till Sunday, the 30th of April. This is at the Crack House Comedy Club in Taman Tun, Dr. Ismail. For more information and the lineup over the next 5 days, head over to crackhousecomedy.asia. It'll feature some of the best comedians from the region, including Mo Siddiq from Indonesia, Ben Darso of Australia, Nick Coppin from the UK, and Malaysia's own Jason Leong, which we have in the studio right now. So earlier we were speaking about all of these, you know, different comedy festivals, but we're here to talk about the Crack House third anniversary comedy carnival. And I know that the Crack House Comedy Club, you know, you have a special attachment to it. It's a wonderful, intimate venue.
Mm-hmm.
What are your personal memories and what do you like about performing at that particular venue? Because it's one of the few places where consistently it's providing live shows day in and day out. And it's been the training ground for many young comedians as well.
Yeah. One of the best things about Crack House is that it was built by comedians for comedians. So a lot of factors make it the best room in the region. So it's very intimate space. It's very packed in. So people are wedged in quite tight and quite close. So when they laugh, the laughter spreads easily because their shoulders are shaking and then the other guys. So it's all.
Is that the formula?
Yeah, it's a lot of. There's a lot of psychological elements in making a good stand-up comedy room, which is consistent in the whole world. You know, like say a Sydney Comedy Store, Laugh Factory in Los Angeles, it's all the same. Dark rooms, intimate, small, bright stage, close to the stage. So yeah, all these elements make it Crack House one of the best. So the thing that I love best about the venue is that when you go there and you perform, the laughter comes at you like you can actually you can almost feel it. It's like a wall of energy. Boom. So that feeds your ego and then that makes you think you're way better than you actually are. And then your performance gets better. It's a good cycle.
Yeah.
It's a self feeding mechanism. So it's a great place, you know. And a lot of comedians they travel around the world, but when they come to Crack House they go, oh, this is a great room. Yeah. So that's why I love that place. And best memory, I think when they first opened, their soft launch, first time performing, and when you hear the audience laugh, a packed room of 160 laughing, then you know that, okay, this is something special.
Yeah, and they got great sandwiches as well.
Yeah.
I've had a few of those as
well. Yeah, very good food.
So, you know, let's talk a little bit about, you know, how comedy right now is infiltrating the zeitgeist and how, you know, people are talking about comedic moments that have gone right and that have gone wrong, especially when it comes to current affairs.
Yes.
We've seen a few examples where the intent of making an audience laugh has raised the specter of insensitivity towards a particular community.
Yeah.
There have been quite a few issues that we're seeing in the news right now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, maybe let's run through it and figure out whether it makes sense, whether it's nonsensical,
yes,
or whether we're just maybe too sensitive to these kind of things.
So the first one that happened was in this Singapore TV show called OK Chop.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, OK Chop is like a comedy panel show written by comedians with comedians performing in it. So there's this one segment where they will show a newspaper clip or a newspaper article, but the headline is missing.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So like fill in the blanks kind of thing.
Fill in the blanks, but they just show the photo, but they show half of the headline. Okay. So I think there's this one particular segment where they showed a photo of our Prime Minister.
Oh,
okay.
All right.
And then I think it starts off with Najib and then blank. So right. the comedians have to fill in the blanks
right.
And try and make it funny. Like Najib does something and they put in their jokes. Okay.
Right.
So one of the...
There's a lot of opportunity there.
A lot of...
especially if you're Singaporean,
that's
perhaps.
Right.
Yeah,
exactly.
Okay. Sure.
No, there's
okay.
the whole Malaysia rivalry that you can exploit.
Yeah.
So then one of the Malay-Singaporean comedians, and this is important, he's Malay, right? So the Malay-Singaporean comedian, his name is Najib Ali.
Najib Ali, correct me if I'm wrong, he used to be the host of Asia Bagus.
Asia Bagus, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah, yeah.
Now, his name is Najib Ali, N-A-J-I-P,
right?
Right? So his zinger was Najib with a B slams Najib with a P.
So Najib slams Najib.
It's a Najib slams Najib, but it's to make it clearer to the listeners, our Prime Minister slams the Asia Bago host.
Yes.
You get what I mean?
Okay. I get it.
So in terms of comedy, there was a self-deprecating humor.
Yes, because the target of the joke is...
Yourself.
Yourself.
It's fine.
Right.
The crux of the matter is because the other comedians were making fun of our Prime Minister. Okay, that's fine. By the way, Najib Ali is doing some shows for Astro as well. He's their host, he's their judge for Mahajan Lawak or whatever.
Right.
So when the Malaysian netizens found out, they flipped their collective tables and then directed their ire at Najib Ali.
And right. why did they do that?
I think it's because they were like, his rice bowl is in Malaysia. Why is he slamming the Malaysian Prime Minister?
Interesting.
Right? And and it was just really unfortunate because if you think about it, he's making a joke about himself.
Right.
Najib Ali is joking about himself.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's also quite frustrating because a couple of things have happened. Mm. There's a miscommunication about understanding the joke.
Huh.
And then the expression of that frustration is also directed and expressed in the wrong way. Because with all due respect to the Najib with a B or the Najib with a P, both of them can handle their respective worlds. Nobody's getting hurt in this entire situation.
That's right. Yeah,
right? And so that's kind of interesting.
Yeah, you know, it's commonplace for people in high positions to get flack and jokes because that's normal. I mean,
they've got other things on their mind.
Yeah, you know. And you're so high up there, you can take a few jokes.
Yeah.
No one's going to bring you down.
Yeah.
I felt that there was quite unfortunate, particularly so because that wasn't even a joke at our Prime Minister. It was just he was just slamming himself.
And you know? So yeah, so it goes into this whole social cultural element to the issue at hand as well.
Yeah, and the reaction was quite unfortunate because then Najib Ali had to apologize. The station had to apologize. The Media Corp had to apologize.
Oh,
and then after that, even despite the apology, he was kicked out from. Judging the Mahajan Lawak.
It's different if the target of the joke targets people who are marginalized, right?
Yeah.
If it targets...
if you punch down.
Yeah, if you punch down. Yeah. And in this case, it's not even punching up. It's just punching at himself. Which is the easiest form.
And it just happens to have the same name and pronunciation as our Prime Minister. I mean, no offense to our Prime Minister or whatever. It's just at the end of a joke at Najib Ali's own expense.
Moving on to issue number two.
Moving closer to it being justified is this recent issue of you remember Watson Nyambe? He used to be the flying.
Oh,
he is the flying dayak.
He is the flying dayak. He used to run 110 something,
yes.
But it was super fast.
Yeah, he was the fastest Malaysian then. I can't remember whether his record is broken or not. So anyway, TV show on Media Prima. I think it's called Sukan Tak Central.
Okay.
Okay. So the one of the announcers or presenters, TV presenters, he was making a joke about Watson Nyambe, and the premise is he says his name, but the second syllable of Nyambe, he pronounces it like as if it's a goat bleating.
Oh, right, right.
Really?
They're using a phonetic joke. Almost.
Yeah, like it's very. I would say the joke is very schoolyard. It's very like standard five.
Yeah,
it's jokes that we used to crack in classrooms, right? Yeah.
But when you're doing it in front of a television audience, you know, it's quite tasteless. In fact,
yes,
yeah,
definitely the joke was tasteless and very disrespectful to Watson Nyambe. Now you see in this case, I think they were making fun of him being a former bankrupt or something,
right?
Right.
Okay.
In this case, it's kind of like punching down, right? Because this guy has fallen on some hard times, right? I mean, he's a retired athlete. And you equate his name to the bleating of a goat. So this, like you say, it's very crass and very tasteless. And there were a lot of, I would say, proper, rightful dissatisfaction by Malaysian netizens, particularly Sarawakians.
Yeah,
you know, which is fine. But then, what is then weird is that Watson Nyambe then says he's going to file a police report, you know.
Right.
You know what I mean? And again, like, I think we always say that the police have more important things to handle than like criminal cases,
right? Yeah.
Than to investigate insulting someone's name. So again,
I think in that particular circumstance, the company or organization that ran the TV show needed to take action on that particular matter. So they might have needed to either, you know, suspend the host or sort of relook at the format of the show.
In this case, I think everyone, they took action. They issued an apology. They said they're going to act on it. And I think the announcer, the presenter issued an apology as well.
So you're okay in those circumstances where if the joke is tasteless and crass, that they do issue an apology. What do you think?
Yeah, well, see, if you are truly a comedian in the first place...
Well, these presenters would think that they're comedians.
Yeah, so that whatever jokes you do, whatever bits of comedy you put out, whatever zingers or slams you put out, you got to be brave enough to stand by it.
Putting aside, you know, the comedic element, do you not think that it is right that they did apologize for the low-quality joke that they produced?
Ah, when you put it that way, then yes. For you should apologize for how crappy the joke is. You know what
you
I mean?
You are a real lalang.
Yeah. That's what this issue is. It falls middle.
It is complex. Yeah. It is complex. Yeah. And some of these issues, you know, it takes a lot of us trying to figure out, how do I feel about this particular issue? And you know, for me, I'm all about the good and the bad, right? Yes. So there are good comedians with good comedy and there are bad comedians with bad comedy.
Correct.
This is a simple example of bad comedy done in a very tasteless way.
Mm-hmm.
And now, as to the question as to whether Wonson Nyambet needed to escalate it to another level, that's a different discussion. Yes. That's his right.
Correct.
And we don't know how he feels about this.
But he feels very upset about this.
Right. But I think the key thing is, you know, for the organization that's responsible for producing that show, they need to maybe relook at their structures and processes about what exactly is the crux of this show.
Some QC.
That's probably what might happen.
Yeah. So again, like, it's a very complex issue, let's say, because like good comedians with good, well-written jokes, I think should never have to apologize. Should never have to apologize. You know, and I hope.
I like that you're clarifying your structure.
Yeah,
you
know, so
there's
like,
progress in this, in this show itself. There's progress towards
that's
your
nice.
Towards your holy land.
That's why I love this show. Okay, so yeah, I think like some of my heroes, like say Ricky Gervais or Jimmy Carr or whatever, when they put out a joke which is well written, well thought out, and there's public outcry, they never apologize because they don't have to, you know. And I hope that these two examples that we have talked about are examples of perhaps, you know, not really stand up comedians under fire, you know. And I hope we never see that. But if we do in the future, like offense directed at a particular stand up bit, and I hope that whoever the stand up comedian is, it could even be me, has the temerity and guts to not apologize.
Well, I also hope that they have the smarts in their joke to back that temerity as well.
Correct.
So for me, that is super important.
That is very important. Yes, that's true. Correct.
Now, we'll be talking more about the Crack House Comedy Carnival, and that begins this evening on Wednesday, the 26th of April. It goes on till Sunday, 30th of April. It's taking place at the Crack House Comedy Club in Taman Tun, Dr. Ismail. Buy tickets at the door or head to crackhousecomedy.asia for more information. After this, I asked Jason Leong for a few reasons as to why you need to head out to a comedy club for some laughs. All of this on the Evening Edition. BFM 89.9.
Bodacious, fabulous minds. BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
It's the Evening Edition. I'm Ezra Zayed, and my guest this evening is comedian Jason Leong, and we're here to tell you about the third installment of the Crack House Comedy Carnival that begins this evening, Wednesday, the 26th of April, and it goes on till Sunday, the 30th of April. This is at the Crack House Comedy Club in Taman Tun, Dr. Ismail. For more information and the lineup over the next 5 days, head over to crackhousecomedy.asia. It'll feature some of the best comedians from the region, including Mo Siddiq from Indonesia, Ben Darso of Australia, Nick Coppin from the UK, and Malaysia's own Jason Leong, which we have in the studio right now. So I'm looking at this roster. There are 10 shows over 5 nights featuring some of these big, big comedy stars. This is a huge lineup. Maybe you can tell me a little bit more about what we can expect from these comedians.
Well, people come to the carnival can expect a lot of great comedy, especially from myself. I'm performing on Sunday at the gala. But yeah, there are a lot of...
some they saved the best for last.
Yes, that's right. Some of the best comedians are coming down. Mo Sidek, he's a good friend of mine from Indonesia. He performs both in Bahasa Indon and also in... I've watched him perform in English. Really, really funny guy. He's a plus size guy. He makes fun of that a lot, which is very, very refreshing. You know?
Yeah.
He's one of the faces of the emerging Indonesian comedy scene. You know, and what is amazing is when he came down here, I watched him perform, and he's great and all. But then when I added him on Facebook, then I saw that this guy performs in stadiums. He performs for the Indonesian TV stations, and his crowds are huge.
Wow!
I'm like, wow, this guy's like and he acts in movies and TV shows in Indonesia. Yeah,
that's great.
So like, in fact, I feel very humble that he still makes the trip up north to come and perform at our humble comedy scene. So this guy is really, really great. Definitely a talent to watch out for. I remember, I'm sure he won't mind, but I remember when he first came to Malaysia, he performed, and his opening line was, remember, he's from Indonesia, his opening line was, oh, in KL, there's a lot of haze. You know, I'm from Jakarta, there's no haze there. It's like,
yeah,
boom, that was really, really great. Yeah, so that he's an amazing act to watch out for. The other comedians like Fakafas from Singapore, Rishi Budrani from Singapore, they are Singapore's best faces. And then Vivek Mabubani.
Vivek Mabubani, correct me if I'm wrong, he is born and bred in Hong Kong.
That's right.
So from his name, I sense that he's got some Indian heritage in him.
Yeah,
he looks like an Indian guy, yes. But man, his Cantonese
is out of this world.
Is out of this world. So he does his stand up in English and in Cantonese as well.
Yeah, that's right. So he has he performs in both languages. One of the
brilliant.
Very few bilingual comedians that we know. He's just coming fresh off a tour in the Melbourne Comedy Festival where he performs a Cantonese show. So his Cantonese is silky smooth. It's very nice to listen to because it's Hong Kong Cantonese.
Mm-hmm.
It's more flowy and more you won't understand it because you're Malay, but it's
there's more melody.
It's more melody. Yeah, it's more
See,
melody.
I got you.
So he's definitely one to watch out for, he's really great to watch and learn because the jokes that he crafts can be translated and performed in two different languages, you know that the writing is quite solid.
Yeah.
He's an Indian guy made in Hong Kong and he's more Chinese than most Chinese that I know.
There are all sorts of complexities that you can't help but laugh watch his show.
That's right, yeah. And there's when I hang out with him in Hong Kong, there are you every day there are just Hong Kongers who look at him, talk to him and go, "Oh, you're Indian but you can speak Cantonese." This is in Hong Kong. He faces this every day of his life.
So the big gala show is on Sunday.
That's right.
And that's where everybody gets a chance to make an appearance, yourself included.
Yeah, so the gala is basically all the stars that were available on Sunday to come and perform. It's great. But interestingly, a lot of people may wonder why is it called a gala, right? So in the other more mature comedy festivals, the gala usually happens at the very beginning of the festival so that punters can go and watch and go, oh, because all the performers, there'll be like 30 performers at the gala, each one doing 3 to 5 minutes.
Wow.
And the purpose is for the audience to go, oh, I want to watch that guy, this guy, not that, you know what I mean? So
yeah.
it allows, it's like
a
sample.
Yeah.
Of the buffet of comedy that you know. So the gala is always the most prestigious one because it's always held at the big venues, whatever. So this one is just basically all your favorite comedians combined in one Sunday night. So it's a good way to close the carnival.
So for folks listening in, why should they go to the Crack House 3rd Anniversary Comedy Carnival?
Okay, so I listed down 5 reasons why they should come. The first one is the Crack House is by far the best stand-up comedy room in the region.
Mm-hmm.
Not just
In the region, big
in the region, big yeah,
big call.
Fighting words,
fighting words.
Not just in Malaysia, but I would fight anyone who says otherwise. But also,
but you're not for violence, but you'll fight anyone verbally.
Verbally,
yes. Yeah.
Thank you. In the region, right? In the region, meaning in Asia.
Yes.
Okay. The best room in Asia. And by the way, I don't take any commission from this. I don't.
Well, after this, we don't know.
we don't know.
The way you're selling this show.
That's right. Right. As if I own this. But no, it's not. Second reason why you guys should come and support, because we are also featuring the grassroots of stand-up comedy. So like the open micers, the newbies, they are going to be performing here. So it's great to support them, because these people are the future stars. Mm-hmm. You know, and one day they...
And you know, without being sappy and everything, mm-hmm. I've seen some of these young stand-up comedians, and man, they're funny, and it's like a raw diamond.
Yes.
That,
you
know,
got to polish.
In 2 or 3 years, they're going to be rocking it. And,
yeah.
and it's really, really interesting and exciting when you are part of that exchange. You're not writing the jokes, obviously,
yeah.
as an audience member, mm-hmm. but you're laughing at it. So
yeah. it's all part of the audience, of the journey of the stand-up comedian. And who knows, maybe one day they'll be such big stars that, and they'll get to come on BFM.
One day.
That is the... So that's number two, the grassroots of comedy. The third one is there's also going to be a Bahasa Melayu stand-up comedy show.
I love these shows.
Yeah.
These shows are really, really funny.
I have to speak about the Bahasa Melayu stand-up comedy scene, right? So one thing that is great about the entertainment industry in Bahasa is that they were very quick, I would say, to adapt.
Yes.
So previously they had Marjalawa, you know, and all this sketch-type, slapstick kind of humor, which is... I'm not going to say anything about it. And then when they saw that there were emerging stand-up comedians in Bahasa Melayu, then they started doing like Raja Lawak solo, mm-hmm. which is basically you are that's what they call, you know, stand-up comedians, right? Lawak solo, you know what I mean?
I guess another way of packaging stand-up comedy.
Yes, yeah, and which is great. So and then you see all these great stand-up comedians in Bahasa Melayu. When we watch them, and you can hear us, the more experienced English performers, go, oh man, that's a great joke. That could have worked in English.
Yeah. Yeah.
Great bits. So names like Reza Mukmin, mm-hmm. Mat Sabah, you mm-hmm. know, Nizam Jentik-Jentik. These, I mean, really wacky names, but their jokes are so well crafted and written and polished. It's just amazing to watch. So now there is a huge emerging stand-up, like real stand-up comedy scene in Bahasa Melayu. So and that's why if you guys should come and watch them perform at Crack House Carnival. You know that every week the guys will put on an English show, but they give one Malay Bahasa Melayu performer 5 minutes to perform in Bahasa Melayu.
Terrific.
And it's they almost always steal the show.
Yeah. And because it's also something that you hear the language and you communicate in that language, you breathe and live in that language so much. But when there's a concentrated amount of that language that's just dedicated towards yes. making people laugh, yes. oh, it's potent.
Yeah, yeah. And you can tell that some of the audience members who are Malay, and it's nice to see their face light up, because they've never heard those words
structured
in that way to give you the punchline, you
yeah.
know. It's amazing. And so that's third reason, Bahasa Melayu comedy. The fourth reason is that I'm in one of the shows.
Yeah,
so that is a great
if
reason.
If that's not already obvious,
yeah, you know what I mean.
Jason Leong,
I mean
comedy.
I mean,
you got to be there.
Come on, guys, it's Jason okay. Leong. Well, it's just I'm going to spend very little time on this, because you should sell yourself. The fifth reason is it's very, very cheap. It's so cheap. It's like based on the exchange rate, it's like about $2 $1 per ticket.
You're right. So I think if you're thinking about cost,
yeah.
just take that ringgit,
yeah.
convert it into any exchange, and you'll feel a lot better about the experience.
Yeah. Because the ticket prices were set before the ringgit crashed, and they have maintained a ticket price. So it's really like a short sell. You know, you make back your money. So do come and watch, because it's I promise you it's going to be a great carnival. I'm really selling it as if I'm making money from the show.
I know.
Really not, I mean, you know.
You're here because the co-founders of the club are busy, you know, running the festival.
Making real money.
Making
and
real money.
What am I doing here?
Well, you know, you're a good friend to the station and the comedy club. So thanks for being on the show, Jason.
Always a pleasure, Ezra. Thank you so much.
Well, there you have it, folks. The Crack House Comedy Carnival begins this evening, Wednesday, the 26th of April. It goes all the way till Sunday. That's 5 nights, 10 shows. For more information, head over to crackhousecomedy.asia or just head over to the Crack House Comedy Club in Tamantun, Dr. Ismail. This has been the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.